into this episode of Farzcast. Farzin Dasukian here with you. And oh boy, the NFL season is officially over. Hope you guys enjoyed the Super Bowl. A really exciting Super Bowl. Came down to the wire. We'll talk about that. The halftime show was just absolutely fire. A lot of people talking about that. For the most part, pretty good reception. You got a few complainers. So we'll discuss what the Karens are so upset about. And then, of course, the NFL honors took place. The awards were handed out, and a certain joke was made that that got some Chiefs fans riled up. Joe Rogan in the news once again. He did not announce UFC 271 over the weekend. That's got a lot of people talking and a lot of talk about cancel culture and whatnot. Turned out Rogan apparently did not go. It was his call. So we'll talk about that because that's been getting a lot of talk and the things he said. We talked about this before, but it seems like it's worth bringing up once again. So lots to get into here on this episode. I'm excited to have on my guest co-host for this episode, Chase Miska. If you guys live in the Arkansas area, is that correct? Arkansas area? You do some...
The whole state is pretty much the area.
Oh, fair enough. I know you do some local comedy there, but I figured, hey, you know... You're maybe not on Joe Rogan's level, maybe one of these days, but you can kind of maybe understand the things that he's kind of dealing with right now. Because comedians do say a lot of things, but excited to have you on, man. Welcome aboard. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you for having me. I had a nice Valentine's Day dinner with my wife.
And, oh, there you go.
Yeah, it's a good time. And now I'm getting to do this podcast with you. So it's been a great day.
What's more exciting, the Valentine's Day dinner or this podcast? What's the highlight of your evening?
Well, I haven't done this podcast every year, so
fair enough, man. But I gotta ask you, because I'm sure this happens, like if you tell anyone, hey, you do, and I know you've been doing comedy for a couple of years now, I don't know if you ever bring that up when you meet someone for the first time, but I imagine like one of the first things is, oh, tell us a joke.
Yeah. Actually, I got to give a lot of thanks to Joe Rogan and other comedians that have podcasts, because that's a common thing that they bring up. And I think that those who listen to it have heard like, oh, don't ask that question. So I haven't really been asked that often. It's usually older people that will ask me that. And I have a set list of jokes that are like silly dad jokes that I tell for that moment that I would never use on stage.
No, that certainly makes sense. So how can people check out, if anyone lives in the Arkansas area, how can they check out your stand-up?
Yeah, so if you could follow River Valley Comics, that's on Facebook and Instagram, and we post all of our shows. We have a comedy collective, really a group of comedians here in the River Valley, and we post all of our shows on there. And then if you could check out the Grove Comedy Club in Lowell, Arkansas, a lot of times I'll host there, and hoping in the future I will be featuring there.
All right, awesome. River Valley Comics, you said on Facebook.
Yes.
Okay, there you go. Yes. You guys
and then,
know.
Of course, you can follow me, Chase Miska. Hope you spell it out in the podcast because I don't think they'll spell it right.
No, I'll definitely spell it out. You know, people always ask, like, because I mentioned my Facebook and Twitter, facebook.com/FarzinVasugian, and I've gotten some tweets over the years. People are like, dude, you need to spell out your name. I'm like, why? My name is on the podcast description.
Exactly.
But I've learned recently to actually, in the description, you can link your social media for people to click on. So I've been doing that lately as well. Yeah, exactly.
That's the best way to do it.
Yeah, I'm not going to spell out my 11-letter last name. That's because people, by the third letter, people are like, okay, fuck it. That's not worth typing in. By the way,
I'm sharing my link to get people to like it or to join a page. And they have trouble doing that, expecting them to copy and paste. That's a lot of work for the general public.
That can be a lot of work. It doesn't seem like it would be, but I guess to some it is. You know, it's interesting the way you and I connected. This was, it feels like forever ago because of the pandemic. This was right before the pandemic became a thing in the United States. I remember being in Vegas watching the Chiefs versus the Chargers game. It was in a Chiefs sports bar called Blue Diamond Saloon. And they also had, they had all the games on, but then they put the Dolphins game, Dolphins Patriots, because the Chiefs needed to win and they needed the Dolphins to pull off this massive upset against the Patriots. I ended up winning almost $3,000. So thank you, Ryan Fitzpatrick, for that one. But in that game, or following the game, I said, I suggested that we need to start a petition to get Ryan Fitzpatrick to bang the drum for one of the playoff games. You actually took that and actually made a petition, and that actually blew up real quickly. And you actually did a radio interview with KMBZ to talk about that petition. And I do have a funny story about that. I don't know if you've ever heard me say this story on the podcast before, back when I did the Chief Zone. I used to work with 610 Radio. And for those who don't know, 610 and KMBZ, they're in the same building. There are, I think, 7 or 8 stations in Entercom. It's now called Odyssey, I believe, in Kansas City. So Entercom, I guess, rebranded or got bought out. I don't know. But KMBZ and 610, they share a newsroom. Their studios are right beside each other. And you of course, did a guest hit on KMBZ. I actually was hired by KMBZ. I did a job interview with them. They said they pay a little more. And as soon as the interview concluded, they're like, yeah, so do you want the job? We're willing to give it to you. And in my head, I'm thinking, this is kind of a weird interview. Like, I just concluded the interview and now they're offering me the job. I'm like, yeah, sure. What are the hours? And they go 3 to 8. I was like, okay. Not kind of the weirdest hours, but that's kind of doable with my schedule. I can work during the day and then, you know, leave a little early in the mid-afternoon and go do my radio job. So I got a phone call one day at about 5:30 in the morning. And oddly enough, the person who left a voicemail, he goes, hello, hello, hello. Like, as if he thought I answered, even though it went to voicemail. I don't know that you would have to ask that person, but I get a text message from that same person. He goes, Farzine, there's been a miscommunication. You're supposed to work 3 to 8 a.m., not p.m.
Oh my God.
I'm like, you guys never fucking mentioned this. Now, do you remember the name of the host who you went on with when you did your radio interview? Was it EJ and Ellen?
I don't remember. I do remember that they sounded like they were from the radio. they didn't even sound like real people talking to them.
Radio voices, as a lot of people say.
You're on the radio. Tell us about that day.
I think that's the show you went on was EJ and Ellen. Because I told them, I'm like, I know nothing about KMBZ. I just know Dana and Parks. That's like the staple show on KMBZ. And they're like, yeah, well, you're working 3 to 8. And when they told me, when they clarified 3 days later, I'm like, you guys never told me it was AM. I mean, that's a holy. They're like, yeah, but you're willing to go into 610 at 6 in the morning. I'm like, yeah, 6 in the morning and 3 in the morning are two very different things. Don't be comparing those things with me. So long story short, I did not end up taking that job. It actually took them a long time to get that job filled. I'm like, I understand why. You guys probably misled a lot of people and not clarifying what time it was. Because, I mean, if someone tells you, hey, yeah, you got this job with us, you're going to start at 2 o'clock. I mean, they better specify 2 a.m., right?
Yeah, that's a significant difference. Yeah, 2 is a normal time for people to be awake. 2 a.m. is said 2 a.m. There's a reason we say a.m. at the end.
I mean, listen, I guess if you know everything about KMBZ, you probably know EJ and Ellen is in the mornings. But I told them, I'm like, I know nothing about you guys. So I don't know. I guess worse things have happened. It's actually funny. I remember when I used to work for the Royals as a stadium DJ. And we'll get into Super Bowl in a moment. This is the last story I'll share. I used to be part of their media production team, which was a lot of fun. Did that for 4.5 seasons. And we were doing rehearsal for opening day. Opening day is always massive. Former players are introduced. I remember the year I worked, that was when we won the ALCS and lost in the World Series. So we were still honoring the ALCS victory that the Royals had for opening day. So we had a massive opening day. And every opening day, they rehearsed that. Obviously, that year, that rehearsal was a much bigger deal. because they wanted to recognize a bunch of former players as well as the current ones. And when they told me rehearsal was at 6 o'clock, I actually looked at my boss. I go, 6 a.m. or p.m.? Because the KMBZ thing just happened. And I'm in this mode where, like, I have to triple check and clarify everything with everyone. And when I asked him 6 a.m. or p.m., he looks at me and goes, p.m. Like, he looked at me like I was a fucking idiot, which I completely understand. Like, I would have that same reaction. I eventually told him the story behind all that, and he's like, I understand. I totally get where you're coming from now. So he knows there's, I'm not a complete weirdo about it.
There is some context where those numbers make sense. Like, if you say I went to Taco Bell at 2, like, we're definitely talking 2 a.m.
That's a really good point. Yes.
Yeah, there's context.
Because who the hell goes to Taco Bell at 2 p.m.? Like, seriously.
Yeah. Monsters.
That Super Bowl, though. I don't know. You're a Chiefs fan, of course. I don't know how you felt about this, but I kind of woke up like, okay, bummer, we're not playing tonight in the Super Bowl, but I kind of got over it real quickly. But then I was like, you know what? It would piss me off if the Rams just blew out the Bengals. And then Al Michaels constantly is bringing up the Chiefs and how they lost to the Bengals. I'm like, okay, I think now I'm pissed off. Like, I get it. We should be here. We kind of should, not to take anything away from the Bengals, because, hey, they earned it. They wanted it more than we do. But, okay, we get it, Al Michaels. Like, we should have been there.
Yeah. Well, so I've been a Chiefs fan ever since they were good. I really wasn't into NFL as a kid. I was in marching band, and as a high schooler in band, there's this weird dichotomy where you feel like all of the funding goes to sports, and you have like kind of this hatred for the sport itself.
Oh, okay.
And then as I got older, I realized fantasy football is a lot of fun. So I went to one of my friends that was in a league with me, and he's like, "Hey, we should go to a football game." And he's a huge Chiefs fan. So I was like, sure, I'll go to a game with you. My first game at Arrowhead was Patrick Mahomes versus Lamar Jackson. We won in overtime.
Oh, yeah.
And I was hooked. Actually, he pointed that out. On the way there, I referred to the Chiefs as they. And then on the car ride back, I referred to them as we, as a part of the team.
That's how it works.
He knew then I was a fan. So, yeah. As far as the Super Bowl, personally, I wanted the Bengals to win because I want the team that beat us to win. I don't want to lose to the losers.
Like, see, that. A lot of people say to me, I'm like, I don't care. Like, we lost. Like, it's over. I will say this. I mean, like, what would have bothered me, and I just said this a moment ago, it's like, if the Rams blew them out, I would have been upset. I would have been like, wow, we blew an 18-point lead to a team that just got their ass kicked in the Super Bowl. So I don't know. I see a lot of people online saying, oh, we could have easily beat the Rams. It's like, well, we can't even beat the Bengals right now. We lost them twice. We blew 2 11-point halftime leads against them, for crying out loud. So I don't know.
I think that both teams for this Super Bowl had an incredible story
behind
them.
Yes.
To get to this point. And I think that both teams were super rootable, if that's a word. But there were good reasons to root for both teams. And I think there was a great story to be told for either one that won. And that made it really fun and interesting the whole time. And I did think going into it with the Rams defensive line, I was certain that it was going to give Burrow some problems. There were going to be as many sacks, but I thought that their run game was going to be a lot better than it was.
Well, you mentioned the sacks. What did actually upset me was the week before the Chiefs and Bengals played, Burrow got sacked 9 times. He actually got hit in another one, but they called the timeout late, but the referee, it was one of those where like the referees, you couldn't even hear their whistle. So Burrow got sacked on that play, but it didn't count. But as far as like physical damage, I mean, that adds up for sure. Yeah. You're still taking all those hits. So he got sacked so many times in that game. Whereas the Chiefs, your $20 million defensive tackle misses two sacks, which was embarrassing.
That was, yeah, but that's, it was just so, it's so out of character. Chris Jones had so many opportunities to get it. And in the past, he's been the guy. So like, I can't hold it against him. It just seemed like so many things didn't go our way.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Plays that are just expected to get that I don't think we would expect other teams to pull off. But we have those expectations for the Chiefs because they've set the standard so high.
Yeah. It was just tough seeing them like constantly sack the quarterback. Meanwhile, the Chiefs have like the second highest paid defensive line as a group in the NFL. So that sucked. I will say this. A lot of people are, when I say a lot of people, I'm talking Bengals fans and some of their players. They're all complaining because there were hardly any flags thrown in the game. And then suddenly in those last 2-3 minutes, whatever it was, when the Rams kept getting opportunities to get first down, they kept getting first downs through penalty flags. Bengals fans were not complaining about the missed face mask on the first play of the second half. See, fans do this all the time. Fans do this all. Oh, exactly. Fans do this all the time. They see a call, a bad call or a missed call in their favor. They're not saying shit about it, but then when it happens to the other team, I mean, they're all up in arms about it. So listen, every single fan base does it. So what are you going to do? I thought, you know, that's why I never complain about refs, because it does happen. The first time the Chiefs and Bengals played, Chiefs fans were all complaining about the refs. The following week against the Broncos, the Chiefs got away with some favorable calls. So that's why I always say, yeah, I never complain about the officiating, because it does happen to all 32 teams. You only notice it when it goes against you. That's the only time you notice it.
That's because that's when it hurts.
Yeah.
Sure. When it comes to the penalties at the end, though, they're kind of necessary towards the end when you need to make sure that people aren't actually – getting away with things that they shouldn't be,
because it's like the waning moments of a game,
right? But I would agree, there was one call they called like a holding on that I don't think was, but that's, it happens. We also had the opportunity to score and couldn't get a third down, so
yeah. Listen, everyone always wants to blame whatever happens in the last 2 or 3 minutes. That's like the only thing that, as if like the other 57 minutes of the game don't matter. I don't know. I'm never one of those fans that blames it on one thing. Like if D Ford was offside, it's like, yeah, okay, that he fucked that up.
For sure.
Yeah, certainly blame that. But there were also so many other factors in that game too that no one ever wants to bring up, but neither here nor there. No, listen, I thought it was a good game. I was entertained. I got to say this. I don't know how you felt, because, and I know you said you're not like a long-time sports fan at all, but for me personally, it's like I've always been that guy wishing to see my team in the Super Bowl and thought I'd never see them. And then 2 years in a row, finally get to see my team in the Super Bowl. But it's like the fun of it can be taken away in a very weird manner, because I can hardly remember the commercials or the halftime shows. Whereas with this one, because the Chiefs were not in it, I was not emotionally invested. So I'm actually enjoying the good commercials. That halftime show, dude, that was absolutely fire. If the Chiefs were in the Super Bowl, I would be on Twitter. I'd be on ESPN.com checking stats, reading commentary. I would not have been able to enjoy that epic halftime show. Whereas like this year, the Chiefs were not in it, which sucks, but I actually was able to enjoy that Super Bowl in a weird way. So listen, as weird as it sounds, I do prefer the Chiefs to go only every other year. Cause like you gotta enjoy the Super Bowl. You gotta enjoy the Super Bowl. Come on.
Yeah. Okay. I can accept that. Every other year.
Every other year.
We got them for 10 years. What is that? 5 Super Bowls?
I'll take 5 Super Bowls, that's not bad at all. Not bad. Yeah, that's above average, I think.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
What did you think of the halftime show, man?
Oh, it was amazing. I loved it because it was the music that I grew up listening to. When I say grew up listening to, like literally grew up with the music as it grew and changed. And I really appreciated that they had Kendrick Lamar on there, who isn't in the same age group, but also is like the next evolution of where rap has gone. And Anderson .Paak on the drums was huge for me. I think that's great that they gave him that opportunity. I don't know if you're familiar with him. He's like half of Silk Sonic with Bruno Mars.
Oh, okay.
Fun fact, Bruno Mars also played the drums during his halftime performance. So both members of Silk Sonic have played drums during a Super Bowl halftime performance.
Look at that.
I don't know any other bands that have done that.
Well, I've got to say, I mean, I always love halftime surprises. Like I remember several years ago, Slash came out of nowhere. Though I don't think a lot of people were happy about the performance, but there was that 5 seconds where you're like, holy shit, Slash is on stage. 50 Cent, dude. I mean, that was pretty cool. That I did not see that coming. And it took me a moment till I'm like, is that 50 Cent? Like he looks a bit bigger.
Yeah.
That was a lot of fun.
For sure. He looks a lot different now, but dude's still ripped. I wouldn't say it to his face.
Listen, he rocked it last night. That's for sure. Yeah. And I love the end of it too, where they're all on the stage and immediately I'm thinking, okay, there are definitely going to be screenshots and GIFs of all of these guys together at the same time to wrap this up. But that was just an epic moment for me. People were offended though. Not everyone loved that. The kneeling from Eminem. Here's a rumor. And I don't know if any of this has been confirmed. First, it was, he was kneeling to honor Colin Kaepernick, and the NFL supposedly told him not to do it. And then the other rumor is, he was honoring Tupac. It's like, only in 2022 do we really, like, get offended over someone kneeling over something that's not the national anthem.
Is nobody considering that he's 50 years old and just exhausted? Nobody's taking that? All right, that'll be my take. Yeah, he's just old, honestly, and this having to stand up there for such a long time is sometimes you just got to take a knee. I don't. When people do things to honor people, then they're honoring them, and like that's not a reason to be offended. It doesn't make sense to me. It never has made sense to me. It's just fake outcry. And I'm sure we'll get into that because there's so much of all the topics that you are discussing all seem have the same vein of people wanting to be upset over things that they don't care about in their everyday lives. And it's strange.
Well, here's what's interesting. It's like the whole national anthem kneeling thing. It's like, okay, that is what upset people. And one of the things I heard, and I'm sure you heard this as well, was protest at your own time. Okay. Which, listen, I think a rational person can look at that and you don't have to agree with it, but that's a rational thought. Protest at your own time. Well, guess what? The NFL players did exactly that. They made a Black Lives Matter video shortly after the death of George Floyd. And guess what? That was during their own damn time and they still got criticized for it. So at some point, it's not about the national anthem, okay? Like we're way past that. The Chiefs and Texans, they got together at midfield for what was the exact wording? I think it was a moment of unity or a moment of silence to show unity. And there were some people booing and there were people on Twitter complaining. They're like, we don't want to see this. It's like, okay, obviously this is not about the national anthem anymore. This is just, you don't like the message, but you don't want to admit it in that form.
Right. Yeah. I don't know. I got family that all seem to feel that way as well. And we can't even have a reasonable discussion about it with each other where they, you know, they get upset. It's a very emotional connection that they have to this. I don't know. I want to call it brainwash, but I'm sure that they would call me brainwash for my beliefs otherwise.
That's how it works. You don't agree with me, you're brainwashed.
Yeah. And right, and it's so absurd and extreme for me to say that they are brainwashed, but it doesn't make sense to have an emotional response to something that you aren't personally connected to, and we're not even be able to have a conversation about it. It's kind of, to me, I don't know, it's not rational. But
yeah, well, let's face it, man, everything's political nowadays. I mean, it's been that way for a few years now. It's like, There's a meme. It says, here's a stick just to show that people will argue over anything. It's like, I don't know if you remember the whole Simone Biles thing when she was dealing with mental health and she backed out of some competitions. That turned into a political deal. Like, people on one side felt one way. People, I mean, like, this has nothing to do with politics. Yeah. Like, but so for
I don't listen to sports radio, right? But I was driving, and it was in an area where I didn't have cell service, so I wasn't listening to my phone. So I just turned the radio on, and on this, it was like a two and a half hour drive. Then I'm through the woods. I'm just listening to this, and that was the only thing they talked about for 2 hours. Was about her not performing because of her mental health issues. And every caller, mind you, we're in Arkansas, every caller that called in said, like, well, she's a professional athlete, she just needs to get over it, she just needs to have these interviews, that's part of her job. And not, there was not a single person that even remotely cared about her mental health issues. And if there had never been a segment on the radio about this, they wouldn't have had an opinion. They wouldn't talk about her that way. They wouldn't have cared whether she had done this. So that the publicity that they're giving over these issues kind of causes the outrage and responses. I think if they just made it a tweet and left it at that, I don't think as many people would be as upset as they were. But you hear it for 3 hours, you're going to be like, you know what? I got something to say.
You know, what's interesting is that's I like how you phrase all that, because you know, sometimes we think, you know, those who are in professional sports or even collegiate sports, we think they're superhumans that are, I mean, just way better than we are. You know, like, they wear their shoes a completely different way than we do, or something like that. But at the end of the day, it's like with Andy Reid in last year's Super Bowl. I mean, look, he was just not right in the right mental state. I mean, how could you think he was perfectly fine? I mean, he just wasn't. And you could even tell with the way he was coaching, the play calls, he just was not there mentally speaking, that is. And some people were like, oh, well, he just needs to get over it. He's a professional coach. It's like, okay, but he's a human too. I saw a tweet, L'Jarius Sneed, the cornerback for the Chiefs, his brother died a couple months ago. I think he was stabbed to death. And somebody was, I saw a couple tweets. That's no reason for him not to play. He should still play. And then they compared it to Brett Favre having one of the best games of his life after his father passed away. It's like, okay, someone's father passing away versus someone's brother getting stabbed. Like, death is bad no matter what. But, you know, right, to think that, you know, to compare someone getting old and dying versus someone young and getting stabbed, I mean, those are not at all like the pain hits differently. But my whole point is, like, people always just think, you know, they're superhumans. They're superheroes. They need to get over it. It's like, really? Who made you they're the boss?
Not. If you really think they're super people, you should check out their Twitter page. You see their tweets and you'll be like, oh yeah, no, they're definitely normal people. Some of them might even be children, actually.
So the way they type, sometimes I would believe that, the way they type. But yeah, I don't know, man. Yeah, oh, I thought you had something to say.
No. It's just, so that is one thing though. People grieve differently. People handle grief differently.
Oh, 100%.
And like in Brett Favre's case, I'm sure in his mind he was playing that game to honor his father, and he could take that and focus his energy into that. And you know, some people maybe just want to take the time to remember their family and know that in that moment they won't be focused on the game because they're focused on something else.
Yeah, and if you are out there playing when you don't feel like you're in the right mindset to play, and you know, odds are you're probably not going to do well, and then fans are going to be complaining about your performance, and that's the last thing they need during a situation like that. So yeah, it's crazy, just the way people react for those kinds of things. I did want to talk to you about the whole Joe Rogan situation, because I mean, look, there's no question about it. He's got the biggest podcasting platform in the world. I mean, he's been doing this forever. He did not intend for this to be as big as it is now. And for a very long time, he's just had the biggest podcasting platform. So to kind of just set the stage, he's been in the news a lot lately. First, it was a couple of weeks ago with the whole COVID drama. And I don't care too much in particular for this, because he's had his suggestions for how to get how to combat this pandemic, this virus without the vaccine. And then, you know, doctors have teamed up against him and Spotify. Neil Young said, okay, you got to either go with me or Rogan on Spotify. And obviously Spotify is going to go with Rogan on that one. I mean, there was a lot of back and forth there, and he had a, I thought he had a very good public statement about it. I thought he was very classy about all of that too. Because he even said he's had people from both sides, and then he has his own opinions, which, listen, I'm not one of those people where if I turn on sports talk radio, I'm not going to be easily influenced because of someone's opinion on football. I'm not one of those people that turns on CNN or Fox News and I'm easily influenced by whatever political pundit has to say. I watch them, but I'm not going to change my stance because, oh, they said something. Whereas a lot of people are like that. That's why people always complain about the news and why they're not telling the truth, because people are easily compelled by whatever their favorite political pundit is saying. In the case with Joe Rogan, because he's such a popular guy with his comedy, with his UFC commentating and his podcast, people someone put an article out several years ago on Forbes about how in 2016, with the election that year, if someone like Tom Brady, who's friends with Donald Trump, if he endorses Donald Trump, guess what? A lot of people will vote for Donald Trump because their favorite quarterback does it. That's why so many of these politicians, they ask for endorsements from celebrities because they know it's going to influence other people to vote, whether people want to admit that or not. But in the case with Rogan, I guess people were outraged because they felt like he's spreading misinformation, which is not in my wheelhouse. And that's what upset so many people, because of what he was saying and people were buying into what he was saying. Here's what I do care more about is the racial slur. I'm sure you saw or heard of the compilation where he is just saying the N-word nonstop, even compared black people to apes. People are saying it's all out of context. Man, I don't care if it's in context or out of context. You just cannot be saying that word. And Rogan 100% owned up to that. He even said, word for word, I fucked up. And he said it multiple times, which, hey, you know what? Good for him. Because in a world today where people are so quick to deflect or sugarcoat what they did, Rogan just owned up to it. Now, here's what upset people is he was not part of the UFC 271 broadcast. And there were even some fans chanting, we want Rogan, several times throughout the night in Houston. It later came out, first people thought it was ESPN's decision, but it later came out that no, Rogan just wanted to pull himself off. Why? We don't know. We were told scheduling conflict, but Dana White said it was total bullshit. His words, not mine. But yeah, I think there's some speculation now that Rogan did it because he did not want to take away from the event, because it certainly, that happens. It certainly does happen. And with all due respect, those fighters, they train their asses off for that moment. So they deserve that. And I don't know. I'm just curious, because I know you do some comedy. You guys say a lot of things that maybe can be a little borderline at times. Obviously not, you know, just blurting out racial slurs, of course. But what were your thoughts on the way the last 2 weeks have gone for Joe Rogan?
I think it's been a long time coming of people that have been upset with him for his stances. You'd be surprised how many people in the comedy world are actually very anti-Joe Rogan. There's definitely a big woke movement of people that want to take the stance and kind of lean away from him. Yeah, because Joe Rogan is a meathead. Like, he's a meathead. He's not he's not an intellectual. He wants to be an intellectual so badly, and he has intellectuals on his podcast. What I can admire about him is he's curious and he's willing to listen. And that you don't have to be a genius to let other people that are geniuses talk and to ask them questions when you are curious about what they do. As far as like the use of the N-word, I do think it's obviously wrong. There's no argument there. And I think that he knows that it was wrong. And like I said, it's just been a long time coming of people collecting information against him. And also, a lot of it stemmed back to him having Alex Jones on the podcast. And Alex Jones is known for spreading misinformation and will have a few times where he's been right. And he's been able to use that to be like, but see, he was right here.
Yeah.
The Grove exists. The Grove exists and the Illuminati meets. So everything he said could be true.
Well, here's what I was going to say, though. Here's what upsets me, because, again, we're in a world where everything's political and people have to pick a side. I don't know why. Like, we have to pick a side. So the whole Whoopi Goldberg, you're aware of what happened with Whoopi Goldberg, right?
No, I don't think so.
Oh, okay. So she's on the Talk or the View. I don't know. One of those gossip.
I do know she's on the View.
Oh, okay. Yeah. The View. One of those gossip shows that I don't know why people watch that, but they do. She said the Holocaust was not about race. Then she appeared on one of the late night shows and she even defended her own comments. Then she later backtracked and was like, okay, I screwed up. And she was suspended for 2 weeks. I think she just came back today for the first time. But here's my point. The people who are upset and are criticizing Whoopi Goldberg are very defensive for Joe Rogan and are willing to forgive him and don't want to see him in any trouble. But the people who want to see Joe Rogan in trouble are willing to forgive Whoopi Goldberg and are not as critical of her. See, like, I don't like that. You can't have it both ways. And by the way, people are calling out the other side. They're like, oh, well, they want Rogan canceled, but not Whoopi. They want Whoopi canceled, but not Rogan. Folks, it's both ways. It's both ways right now. Like, people.
I'm the other way. I don't want any of them canceled. Call them out for being wrong. Give them the opportunity to grow as people, especially when you pull up videos from the past. You're not seeing the growth that they may have made in that time. But when it comes to like the things that we should be canceling as a society that we aren't, how about actual criminals that like have places of power within our government that we know have committed crimes, that we know are corrupt and overthrowing our actual democracy that we have on both sides of political parties? That's what we should be canceling. Not the social war against words and against ideas that could so easily be changed with a genuine conversation, but we can't have genuine conversations with sociopaths. Sorry, I'll get on a rant, but
okay. That happens on the podcast.
Why don't we all come together? Because that comes along with like the people wanting to cancel Spotify for having Joe Rogan. Like, I think if you want to be upset with Spotify and want to have a reason to protest them, you should protest on the amount that they pay the musicians that keep their entire platform alive. They don't make any money for having their music on there. And they are the reason that you have Spotify.
Well, here's my thing. Cause I mean, I know the Spotify deal is massive with Joe Rogan. I don't know the exact number, but I know it's a big number. Here's my thing.
Million.
That's a lot. That's a lot for sure. Here's my thing, because you said you don't want either of them. And by the way, I don't want either of them canceled either. But I do think they need to suffer the consequences. Now, Rogan saying a racial slur on his podcast, which is his own time. I don't know. That's not really a suspendable thing with the UFC. I don't know how that works. Although if an NFL player, gets a DUI, he's going to be suspended from football, of course. So I don't really know how you handle that, because Dana White is very, he and Rogan have a great relationship, and Dana White's one of those people, like, he will never give into one of these. Like, I guess he's not a snowflake, so to say. But here's my thing, because Israel Adesanya, who's the UFC middleweight champion, and he's black, African-born fighter. He came out in support of Joe Rogan, and people are like, oh, yep, look at this guy. He's black and he supports Joe Rogan. It's like, look, you can support Joe Rogan and also criticize his comments and say, hey, he should suffer the consequences. You can support Whoopi Goldberg and also say what she said was idiotic and she should suffer the consequences for what she said. Because again, everyone's picking and choosing who they want to forgive and who they don't want to forgive.
What are the consequences?
Well, I guess in Whoopi Goldberg's case,
that's the real question, right?
In Whoopi Goldberg's case, she was suspended for 2 weeks. Now, how many weeks? I don't know. I think two might have been a bit too long, but I think, you know, you said something idiotic on your show. You should be suspended. If I remember, someone on 610 made a joke about smoking weed. I know radio hosts in other places who have, for name by name, full name, I should say, they mentioned an ex, and it's like, you don't do that on a public platform, and people have been suspended for that. So, you know, to cancel them like permanently, no, I don't agree with that. But I do think, you know, when you're a radio or a TV host and you say something you shouldn't say, yeah, you should be suspended, I think.
Well, and the difference there is that they have employers. Joe Rogan employs himself.
That's a very, very good point. Yeah, but see, I was thinking about the whole NFL thing too. Like, let's say, you know, Tyreek Hill gets a DUI. Just an example, folks.
Let's use somebody else.
Okay, Dan Sorensen, is that better?
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay, let's just say an athlete gets in trouble, okay? Yeah. I mean, they're not getting in trouble on the field. It's during their own time. Now I get, you know, an athlete and Joe Rogan, they're not mutually exclusive. I know. I just said they're not mutually exclusive.
Only because, no, it's not, it's because that's a law, because we already have a system in place for those infractions. We already have a legal system.
That's a good point.
That affects that. And that's where the difficulty comes in, is that there aren't laws about this. There's hate speech, but that is so vague.
Very vague.
And so that's what makes it difficult. And I don't mean to say that as though to say, like, I think we should have more laws preventing people from saying things. Like, I don't believe that at all. I just mean to say that when there are consequences, there are legal consequences and there are social consequences. And if you say something that is offensive and offends a lot of people, the consequence then becomes that you have less people that like you. And it's that is what your whole driving force is for your product, is the people liking you. So he will suffer consequences. The issue mainly being, though, is that the people that don't like him are people that have already not liked him for several years.
Yeah.
And then some people that have liked him that are disappointed in his actions and can easily, like you said, easily forgive him because he had a heartfelt video apologizing for his actions, or what seemingly heartfelt. It seemed genuine to me. It didn't seem like he was just trying to get out of hot water. It sounded like he really felt bad for what he had said. And I think any smart person would have never said that publicly on the air to begin with. But
yeah,
he's not. He's a meathead.
Well, let me ask this, because I feel like, okay, you remember the whole Kareem Hunt incident where he shoved and kicked the woman. A lot of Chiefs fans still to this day are like very forgiving of him for that. I'm like, why? I know, are you a Royals fan or are you a baseball fan at all?
I like college baseball.
College baseball. Okay. I'm not a big baseball guy, but I will say this. Danny Duffy, who used to pitch for the Royals for a long time, he had at least one DUI. I want to say he had a second. Don't quote me on that. Like I said, I don't follow baseball closely, but he had a DUI, which, you know, that's a bad thing, of course. It's against the law, as we established a moment ago. But there were some people, like, very forgiving of him. Here's my point with all this. Like, whenever a public figure does something, whether it's breaking the law or saying something horrible, people are willing to forgive them. But if your next door neighbor did this, or you just see some guy on the news and you see his mugshot, you're going to say, wow, what a scumbag. Do you get where I'm going with this? Like, we are very forgiving, like, of public figures than the average person, which I don't like.
Yeah, well, we idolize them. And that's where that comes from. So idolize. We have a balancing of social credits that we've given them that they can make some poor decisions that we can forgive because of these other things that we have given value to that we personally can allow to outweigh what they've done. I think we do that a lot. We can see that a lot. I think people do that with their family too. And maybe that's not a great example because there's this idea that you have to love them because of blood, but people do forgive their family members for things they would never forgive a stranger for, because they've grown to love them and they've gotten to know them and they have all of these things and memories that they can use to outweigh these negative things that happen. And I that has to be the idea behind it, is that it's idolatry, but in the form of celebrities or athletes or whatever profession that you seem to look up. Yeah, oh yes. Podcast hosts, journalists or not journalists, whichever you are.
Yeah, I get that a lot.
Yeah, I don't know. I think that's natural. And I think it's important for, I think shame is an important thing that we, a tool that we should use. It's important as a group. If we all disagree with something that somebody's done, there needs to be some shame placed on that person so that they are aware that other people don't agree with it. And it's also part of their job to grow and accept that what they've done is wrong and to not do it in the future. But they do have to be given that chance with time to show that they don't do it in the future, to show that they have growth. So
yeah,
that's but shame's important. It just, but you can't cancel, like you can't just kill somebody over it, and I metaphorically kill somebody over it.
Yeah, no, I 100% agree with you on all that. I think you make some great points. My whole thing is, like, and I've called up on this podcast and on my social media, everyone wants, I mean, you just can't have it both ways. If you're willing to forgive someone, and listen, we know it depends on political allegiance, but I mean, just, let's just be consistent. That's all I'm saying. That's all.
Yeah. I think, and that's what the point is, that it is hard to forgive people that you haven't given those social credits to.
Yeah, exactly.
If you didn't like them to begin with, you already dislike them. That's just another notch on your belt. You know, it's just another reason to hate them. I feel that way for certain people. I definitely won't give forgivenesses to certain members of political parties, but that's just because I disagree with them.
Yeah, I hear you. Well, hey, man, this is a lot of fun. I really enjoyed doing this podcast with you. And I kind of wanted one other thing I forgot to mention, the NFL honors with Keegan-Michael Key. I was about to say Keegan.
You nailed it.
Yeah, Keegan-Michael Key. So he made a joke about Joe Burrow's outfit, and he said Patrick Mahomes saw this at halftime and he forgot how to play football in the second half. And Travis Kelce is right there in the front row, not happy. And the crowd didn't laugh. It was more of like a like type of reaction. I agree. I was laughing when that happened. There were some Chiefs fans like using the reaction as, oh, it wasn't funny. I'm like, that was kind of the point. It was more of a diss than a funny joke. It was a joke nonetheless. But it's like, listen, yeah. Here's my thing. Like, as Chiefs fans, we poke fun at our team sometimes when necessary. Because, listen, what are we going to do? Cry when they lose? Like, you got to have a sense of humor in life. And if you're going to be upset that a comedian made a very harmless joke, it's like, what can you laugh about in life?
Well, yeah, they need a sense of humor. So you have to understand, for one, it's a joke. I laughed. I don't think it's the best joke he's ever written. He could definitely do better. But for the material that he was working with, that was the joke for sure. He got to point out Joe Burrow's outfit, and he got to point out that we blew a lead, which were the two moments of that game that mattered. And that was where the joke was. And you have to understand when they're writing jokes for these, a lot of times they're not even writing the jokes. They have other people write them for them, and they pick and choose what is relevant and they want to use. If he hadn't done the award show, this would have just been a tweet, and I don't think there would have been outrage. It would have gotten a few reshares, and it would have moved on. And now what I appreciate is Travis Kelce's response. Joke. about how we beat the Chargers. And I think that's a fantastic way to reply to that. I don't know if you saw his reply on SportsCenter.
Hold on, you cut out for a minute. So I heard you say you appreciated Travis Kelce's response, but then you cut out. What did you say after that?
Oh, so he had said that we basically it was like, oh, well, he was just mad that we beat the Chargers.
Okay.
Right, which is a great way to, because it's still keeping the tone of the joke, right? It's obviously about us losing. And he gets to still have the tone, which is an upper hand of like, hey, we also beat you. So make the joke. It was a perfect response. They're not great jokes. Like, I don't think I'd put them in a comedy set, but they're perfect for the time, man.
Listen,
and there's no reason to be upset.
If that joke was made about the Raiders, the Broncos, or the Chargers, we'd be laughing our asses off. There are Chiefs fans denying it. I'm like, come on. Yes, you would. Like, you absolutely. I would be all over it. Like, I'd be laughing 10 times harder because it's my rivals, my rival team.
We're still laughing at the picture of the 49ers in the end zone.
Yeah, exactly. Still to this day, because that makes us feel better about the last 2 years not going exactly in our favor. Hey, dude, Chase, this is a lot of fun, man. Hopefully we can. Yeah. I've been wanting to connect with you for quite some time, and I figured this was possibly the best episode to have you on, given the topics, and you were able to connect with a couple of those in a personal manner. Real quickly, one last time, how can people check out your work? What's the Facebook page they got to go to?
Just look up my name, Chase Miska, MYSKA.
Okay. And what is the name of the comedy club?
The comedy club is in Lowell, Arkansas, and it's called The Grove Comedy Club. We had a lot of awesome comics coming through. I was able to open up for Aaron Weber recently, who's on the Nateland podcast. And I was also able to open for Dusty Slay, who has a Netflix special out right now. So it's been a great opportunity for me, and it'll be an awesome place for you guys to come check out comedy.
Awesome. All right, man. Well, Chase, I appreciate it, man. We'll keep in touch. We'll do this again sometime.
Thank you for having me.
All right.
I miss him. Yeah.
Oh, who's that?
Yeah. Tell your other co-host I miss
him. Oh, Zach. Yeah. No, he comes on occasionally. I don't know what happened to him. We texted, but
I was really looking forward to him, but you know, I'll get over it.
Yeah. My feelings aren't too right. The feelings are too. All right, man. I appreciate it. You take care. You have a good night, man.
You too.
All right. Take care. All right. That is Chase Miska joining us here on Farzcast. Hope you guys enjoyed this episode of Farzcast. Farzin Vesugin here with you. I'm out of here. We may have another podcast this week. It might be a shorter podcast. We do have a special guest. We're very close to lining up. So very excited for that. I don't want to announce anything yet because it has not been confirmed, but we are trying to work out the date and time. Hopefully we can get it all to match up. And if we do, I think it's going to be one a lot of you will like, especially baseball fans. That there's a little spoiler there, baseball fans. I will not go any further beyond that. But nonetheless, football season's over. My Sundays are going to be low key now, which I got to admit, I kind of like because I dedicate my entire Sundays to football. Now I can kind of relax and do other things on Sundays for the next 28 weeks or however many weeks it's going to be until football season gets going again. So I'll definitely be enjoying some low-key Sundays, and I hope you guys will as well. All right, Farzin Vesugian here with you. Facebook.com/Farzin Vesugian @Farzin21 on Twitter. Till then, I will talk to you guys later. Take care.